I almost want to intentionally challenge myself in a way on the social level, because I feel like that's more of a challenge for me at this point than the physical or emotional. I think that there's something to be valued with sharing it with somebody else, but at the same time, I absolutely love doing it by myself.
I'm John Zahorian, and this is Throots Podcast. I'm joined today by Wired, Erin Saver. She's a popular trail blogger and a really valuable resource to the community. Whenever I've thought about doing a new trail, whether it's been for the Continental Divide Trail or the Hey Duke or the Great Divide, I always go to her blog first, because a lot of these trails don't have a whole lot of resources, and when they do, it can be a little bit confusing to navigate all of that. But she always gives these really detailed roundups that put you down the right track. And also, she chronicles the day-to-day in such great detail that it gives you a really good feel for what you're likely to experience. So, without further ado, this is Wired for this episode of Throots Podcast.
I was super stoked when you first came out with the podcast, because I saw what it was, and when I read the description, it was meaningful conversations with hikers that venture off the beaten path. And it was the part of venture off the beaten path that doesn't relate to me, I feel, but it was the meaningful conversation that I was super excited about, those conversations that you have when you have another hiker that gets it and understands that. I had one person I was hiking with that said that they were headed back to their girlfriend, and that they had realized that in like 3 years of dating their girlfriend, that he had not had the quality time with her that he had with the hikers in 4 or 5 months on the trail. So there's something about that quality time that we don't get in everyday life. Even just overlapping with a hiker for 24 hours, you bond with them in a way that is much more qualitative than the time spent often in real life. When I say real life, I just mean like in the city. And there's just this shared experience that you don't get in everyday life. So I was excited to see that you were doing that. But I was surprised you were asking me, because you said hikers that venture off the beaten path. And I know that I don't do that. My version of me is that I just kind of just do trails that are already set out and already formally made. Yes, some of them are like the Sierra High Route or the Hey Duke Trail. Some of them are, but I'm
You could keep listing those on and on and on, though.
but where I would take exception to where the people you've interviewed in the past versus me is that the ones in the past, they've kind of created their own routes and ventured there. And I'm more of, I don't know that I would ever do that, and I don't really have an intention of doing it.
Yeah, the beaten path is, I'm taking it a little more as a metaphor, because the first three guests definitely create their own routes. But then after that, it was Packing It Out, and then it was Joey Camps. And, you know, they're following basically like pre-made paths, but I think they're doing it in really unique ways and ways that are really valuable perspectives to hear and that are different than the norm, I would say. And you're blogging. So you started off and got a pretty large following from the start because you chronicled so well. And then to keep that up and to keep going so far past what when most people stop and to continue to chronicle in that way, it's such a huge resource to the community. And it's really unique.
Yeah. I caught up on your two last ones just recently while I was going on runs. And I was getting that it was more of a metaphoric off the beaten path kind of thing. And at first, I was like, well, I still don't feel like I fit into that, because I feel like there's a lot of hikers these days because I'm in it. But it's weird when you step outside of it and you can look in from the outside. It's still a unique life and a way to choose life. Then I did start to think about the days and the hours and the times put into it. And I realized there are, yes, there's people who through hike, there's people who do the Triple Crown. And then somehow something doesn't work out, or they change their motivations and they don't continue on after that. I'm very fortunate and very charmed, I would say, in that for things to align, and you need finances to align, you need mental, emotional, and then just physical also. All of these things have to come together, and for that to have happened every year for me since 2011, and for me to be able to consistently take off 6 months out of the year, I do see how that's unique. Yeah, there's something to the endurance of doing it year after year after year. And I've found those few people that have that kind of lifestyle, and I've surrounded myself with them a little bit. So it feels so normal, but I do see how that is unique. And it's the chronicling of it that is draining, I can admit. It's a pull, a struggle, I don't know. There's a give and a take, there's pros and cons to it. But in the end, I always come out that it's been worth it to document it. A lot of people start off on a blog, and then they'll, if you're doing the PCT, for example, when people hit the Sierra, there's that gap in ability to post live. And then you get this backlog and you're really tired. Mm-hmm. So then they get off, they're like, you know what, this just wasn't worth it. And they even found that they even enjoyed not having that connection, mm-hmm. which is completely understandable and respectable. And a lot of people just don't have the endurance to do it, or just find that it's not enjoyable, which if it's not enjoyable, don't do it. Mm-hmm. So there are two sides to this. So we can approach one of them first. And I would say the one with just having the will to want to do it as you're walking. If I enjoy an area and I'm walking through it, my immediate thing is like, oh, I want to take a picture of this because I want to remember it kind of thing. And, mm-hmm. I just wonder if I were not blogging about it, would I take a picture of it? I've had people straightforwardly tell me and very honestly say, I don't want to hike with you. They believe that it's a contrived hike by having it blogged.
Hmm.
And that for me, the documentation is more of, I have family, that I want them to enjoy what I've been doing. And so even back before there was like the YouTube stuff and the blogs, we had a Kodak gallery that we were putting our pictures on every time we did something. And we'd send an email to all of the family and friends, and we'd be like, here's our, and it'd have captions and everything and a full description. Like I still have my sister's honeymoon, and she did a daily blog that she sent to the whole family of their honeymoon. So it's just part of what we do and share and document. Pretty much what I tell people when they're hiking with me, I'm like, hey, if there's stairs at the top of this, I'm going to sit down and do that. If you want to keep walking, I'll catch up with you later. But I think for some people that would feel unnatural to them. And it's just, if they don't want to walk with that kind of thing, I completely understand. But I do take a bit of offense to the idea that it would be contrived. So for me, I think that comes through in my blogging. I don't create situations, and I pretty much am just documenting what's happening as I'm going. And I'm not going to change the day and only focus on like one thing and ignore something else. Like if it was a really boring day, I'm going to document that it was a boring day. And I'm not going to only show the days that have cool views. And it's just not important to me to get that one shot every day of me over some vista, you know, with my hair flowing in the wind.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's part of what draws people to it. A lot of people say, hey, I appreciate that you're a straight shooter. I come to you because I know that you're going to tell the truth about this. Mm-hmm. You're not going to pretend like something was really awesome when it wasn't cool at all. So I think that people feel with social media, a lot of pressure that everything needs to be positive and everything needs to show that it was a fun and amazing trip and it was always life-changing. And hiking is so subtle that it can't be like that every day. Mm-hmm. And that has to be exhaustive to try to blog that. But I don't, if you're always blogging and writing about just how happy and amazing everything is, then people can feel that that's not genuine. Like that's not real life. Good for you if it's true, but it also isn't like, it's, you just got to be real. And I think that people can feel that when it's real or not. And so it's not like I'm sitting there and I'm not an amazing writer by any means, and I'm not the best photographer, but it's basically just following along with that organic feel of a trail that so many of us love. And you have to have those details in there for, I'm sure there's little tiny details that are in your mind that come up as you're walking. And for me, I want to document them so people can feel that.
Yeah. And it makes it really good for someone who's looking to do the trail that you've done, is that you aren't going to skip over a day or anything like that, you want information on a piece of trail, you're going to get what it's like for sure.
Yeah. I have some people tell me, even from my PCT 2011, I've felt that it shouldn't be relevant anymore because we're now, you know, 6-7 years out from that. And so many people still message me and say that they used it as a daily, like a reference, even on the trail today. And that was when I wasn't even blogging in detail. Like, that was my first year. And so it's just surprising to me that nothing has come forth as more of a resource since then. But it also makes sense with social media the way it is with Instagram and Facebook now, is that things are just a little bit quicker, more immediate, and they just want a quick blurb, and no one has the time. Like, I don't expect that everyone reads it, but I write it, and a lot of it's for myself. So, like, I would imagine that you have a lot of satisfaction in going back on all the clips and all the footage, and that it makes you relive it in a way that was unique, and that you can absorb it and value it that much more.
It's my journal.
Yeah, it's like your journal, and you get to reread your journal and go through it. Like, would you say you put in like hours and hours of time into it?
Oh, it's ridiculous. I take way too long, yeah.
But you feel that it's worth it. What makes it worth it for you?
Well, the initial inspiration was when I was about to leave for the CDT, I had PCT footage, and I knew if I didn't edit it into something, I would never take the time to sift through all the clips again. So it was just like an easy way to, you know, pop in the VHS and take a trip down memory lane sort of thing. So just for my older self was the initial inspiration for sure.
Okay. So,
yeah.
And have you found that now that you've done it, do you go back sometimes. And look at them, and does it to you feel like you know what's about to happen in it, or do you sometimes look at it and say, I don't know what's about to happen, and you're looking at it almost from the outside?
I definitely know it's going to happen.
You know?
Yeah, everything on trail is just so deeply ingrained in me.
Yeah.
Do you find that?
For me, I read it almost as if it didn't happen to me.
Yeah?
And I'm like, what happens next?
Wow.
Like, okay. I look at it, and I get hooked. I'll look back on something and just be like, oh, yeah, someone will ask me a question about a specific spot, and I'll go back on my journal. I have them printed. And I'll just go back and flip to the page, and then I'll get like hooked, and I'll be like, wait, what happened to the next day? And I'll be like, oh yeah. And so it's pretty cool. Cause I just feel like I have a limited storage space or something that people ask me if I've ever not blogged about it. And I did, I took 2011. I was the first year. And then I went and did a whole summer in 2012, went back into the John Muir Trail, and I did the West Coast Trail. And then I did some stuff in Oregon. And, I can't remember that summer very well. Mm-hmm. And I miss that I don't have the documentation to look back on it, and the photos, and have it organized and things. So for me, it really is wonderful to have that I can physically hold it in my hand and flip through the pictures and relive it. And I feel like it makes me value it that much more. And I think my family is a bit of a picture family, and it's just nice to have documentation and see photos of things. It really brings back memories. I'm probably a more visual person. I don't know.
I'd like to talk a little bit about, I think there's certain stereotype with people who have the resume that you have. Usually they will have tiny packs and are like doing 40s and stuff. Like, I mean, I love that you don't, and it's, everyone should have their own style. And like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I don't know.
Expand on that a bit.
Yeah.
I agree that, and that was another part of like why I was surprised you asked, because I didn't fit the mold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I'm carrying a Kelty, which there's nothing wrong with carrying a Kelty, but I'm not carrying the super heavy, but I'm also not ultra light. And that's just because I have certain comforts. When I did the Hey Duke, that was like, I stubbornly did it without caching. And I had this pride, which I don't recommend to anybody. I now tell everyone you should cache, and I don't know why I had that stupid pride about the caching. Once I did the Hey Duke, I was carrying so much weight that anything after that feels simple and so easy. So it really doesn't bother me. Now, I'm sure there's going to be an age that I reach where I'm going to want the Z-Packs pack or your packs. But I think there's going to be an age where I might want that. But right now, I just like having my comfy stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. And the mileage thing is an interesting question, too, because some people used to think that I did too many miles in a day mm-hmm. in comparison to, like, most hikers. But still, when you compare me to, like, you and Dirtmonger and Lint and Anish, and, like, there's just a level there that there seems to be different preferences for days. And I definitely don't do that. My pace is not very fast. Now, what I do have is an endurance. I just keep that steady pace for a long period of time. But yeah, it's definitely interesting, and I think that's also what people find relatable. I had it for a little period of time, the need to like kind of pound and challenge myself a little bit and see what I could do. But then I kind of feel like I got to it, and I was like, oh, I can do that. I don't feel like I need to. And I feel just comfortable just going off what I naturally feel on a given day. And it's nice to know that given a situation when I need to make it happen, if a storm is coming, I'll kick it in for a leg. But then when I go back to that other leg, I'll bring it down. But definitely, everyone I've hiked with for the majority feels that I still push too much. And it's been a challenge with some pairings to find that happy medium of being a good partner and then also satisfying what I want.
You also hike with partners a lot.
Yeah. So that has been sometimes a conscious choice to do and sometimes not planned. I'd say that when I go onto trails where I was feeling like worried about the terrain or the navigation, I would pair up with somebody and be like, oh, okay, I'm not sure that I'm comfortable doing it. And what's funny is that almost every time I've thought, oh, I could have done that by myself. It's funny because I always still feel quite solo in that I feel like I can always just go my way whenever. Mm-hmm. And we've always done that intentionally. Anybody I've hiked with, it tends to not be the same partnering kind of thing. It's always just somebody, it tends to be someone different and not too many repeat like partnering. So mm-hmm. I don't know what that says.
Well, but I haven't even successfully hiked with anyone for more than a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Even with different intentions.
Would you have an intention? Would you like to do that, do you think?
I don't know. I think I don't know. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know why I didn't. I tried a couple times this year. Because for me, a big struggle has been whether to try to be, like, have a social, enjoyable experience or really challenge myself with a big objective, which is going to have to probably be solo. So I tried combining the two this year a little bit. I don't know.
Okay, so what I have to say is that I think it has to do with the fact that you're a 28-year-old male. Like, there's a huge part of you that needs to be physically, like, challenged, mm-hmm. all right? And it's going to be hard to find somebody else that is in that mode unless it's another, like, you had a grouping of guys earlier this summer. And I know that that was kind of a 50-50 shot that you had going there. But
why do you say that?
Well, I think it can be hard to have personalities come together. But I know that in that grouping. Anyway, let's just say you guys did pretty well. And I think it had to be fun to have people that wanted to push the way that you wanted to push for the most part. It seems like it worked out for the most part. That was a lot of personalities in one place, and I know that given any situation when you have that many in one place, so there's going to be maybe one that may fray to the outlier kind of thing, and it's even if you have a pair, it's just a random roll of the dice. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's come more as I get a little bit older that I've settled into not needing to push as much at all, and I'm wondering if it's an age thing or just a maturity thing, or just a phase, I don't know. But it is finding people also that are at that same point as you to hike with and overlap with. If you're talking about conversations that you'd have on the trail, okay?
Okay.
I try to like take the trail mentality and apply it to real life as like a bit of a metaphor. So what I find in life is that I tend to live life the same way as I hike. I'm walking. If someone else is doing the same thing I'm doing at the same way that I like to do it, then I'm happy with that. And they're welcome to stick around. But as soon as it's out of my comfort zone, I am really bad at accommodating and finding a way to adjust for another person. And I know this is something I have in my personality, but it's not just on the trail that I do that. I do that in real life too. And so it's very interesting the patterns that I think show as far as like your hiking personality and then you're also your personality in real life. So do you see a parallel as far as like you said that you tend to do a lot of it solo. Mm-hmm. And but you tried to be with other people as far as like just do you feel like in real life is most of it solo and then you try to do things with other people and it just kind of you end up doing it your own way?
Well, I think at least recently a lot of my off-trail life, I say off-trail life instead of real life.
Okay. Yeah.
But, a lot of my off-trail life has been pretty solitary. So because at this point, most of my friends are trail people, I want to have companionship on trail, but then, I don't know. I do definitely just do my own thing in real life, though, okay, most of the time.
So I try to look at it a little bit and be like, oh, that's a habit I have. And I also do that. And I think it is just more magnified on trail. And I see it better on trail than I do off trail. Because when you're off trail, you're in situations like in daily work life, I'm having to be around people all the time because it's my work. Mm-hmm. And I work in schools and I work with teenagers and other teachers all day. And but when I'm outside of a work situation, I generally tend to just do things myself my way and not really even want to have other people involved in it. I was like, oh, I tend to hike that way too. I do it myself, my way. So then I was like, oh, well, if I wanted to like kind of challenge myself, maybe I should try. And that's what some of this pairing has been. Some have been successful, some not so much. I think that's probably one of the bigger challenges for me. Everyone's like, what are your challenges in hiking? The people is a big one for me. I mean, I don't think it's a big one for a lot of people, but it is one that I'm trying to find a balance with. And I think everybody tries to find that kind of balance. But I do feel I've kind of mastered the whole, yeah, let's figure out how to hike and that kind of thing. And I almost want to intentionally challenge myself in a way on the social level, because I feel like that's more of a challenge for me at this point than the physical or emotional kind of thing. I don't know, with the hike. I think that there's something to be valued with sharing it with somebody else, but at the same time, I absolutely love doing it by myself and doing it my way and having that freedom.
Pushing yourself into doing these new routes, like what is the motivation for the trails that you're choosing to do?
They've each evolved one from the other. So I can actually go in order of some of them, if yeah, I can recall them. In 2011, when I started, that was just a one-time, one-off thing, and I didn't think I'd hike again. Then I returned and realized that it was actually possible to be able to do it again, physically and financially, and it just kind of evolved that way. The CDT, it let me know that I was so much stronger both mentally and physically than I ever thought I was. I didn't quite realize it on the PCT because I was just, it was a new hike. So I thought it could have been a one-time thing, a one-off. Mm. The CDT happened so much easier than the PCT did. And it was it took such less of a drain on me, and my emotional state was much better than it was on the PCT. So I was like, wow, I'm actually stronger mentally and physically than I thought I was. So when I went on the Appalachian Trail, the intention with that one was the social challenge. I had mastered physical, I had that emotional kind of one, but I have issues with the social part of it. And I know that. And it is something that I think there is value in it, and I need to find a way to be better at it. And so I went on to the AT thinking I'm going to go into this social trail and not reject it, which I went into it thinking that, and I immediately rejected it. And I was by myself, and I think I was actually by myself more on the Appalachian Trail than any other trail. So that was an interesting experience until I ran into people during the second half that it ended up being a very quality experience for me. And it made me realize that it's worth sharing. Like sometimes it's worth adjusting your pace and your energy to share an experience with other people. People that know me personally that have even hiked with me in the past, they're like, you are so different than you were before the Appalachian Trail, which is a huge step forward for me. And I thought it was a huge learning thing for me. And I'm very much about like learning from experiences and challenging myself in new ways. So I was really proud of it, but I know there's huge works still to be done. I haven't quite still done a good job with that social aspect of it, as being fully open to other people and not being selfish and letting other people in. But I do feel that it's slowly shifting, and I'm doing better, and I'm being more, I guess, I hate the word vulnerable.
Do you think you used the blog as an excuse to kind of tie it away?
It does help. I think it helps me as a defense mechanism to say during the day, or like even when I'm in town or at night, to say, I'm not going to socialize with you. I need to go do the blog. Mm-hmm. I am introverted, but it is an introverted reaction to hide away to something. But there's been now better occasions when I've been like actually wanting to put that away and actually push it to the side for a little bit. And I think that's good progress for me. And so it is something that I'm working on, but I don't feel like I have to have it kind of thing. It's not like I sit around being like, I miss that, but it is something that I look at life and I think there's value in that. And I think I should explore it and like see if I am capable, but it's just something I don't crave that a lot of people seem to crave. I blame it on being a twin. So I was just, a long story short, is just being an identical twin. And I mean, we slept in the same room till we were 26. So imagine just 2 years before you right now, that you'd still be sleeping and spend every day with your identical half and not have to communicate to the other person. And you always had someone next to you without having to work on it. And so now I'm out on these trails, and any moment I have to work at it, I'm like, that's annoying me. And I push it away and I just walk off. I'm like, I'm just going to go do it my way. It doesn't bother me. And then I walk away and I'm like, God, now that I've had experiences where it actually enhanced the hike to share it with another person. I'm like, oh, okay. I should probably work on that, because then it could be enhanced. It's not like I feel like something's missing, but I think there's like a bonus that can be had maybe if you find the right match and you like do it the right way. And you have to be giving and patient and willing to compromise. And these are things that I just never grew up doing, so they don't come natural to me, which that could be just a crutch I fall back on and I use it as an excuse. But I blame my sister. I do. So when I left the Appalachian Trail, I thought, okay, I've done the Triple Crown. I want to challenge myself and do something that's been traveled less. So immediately I was pulled to the Great Divide Trail. And what pulled me to it was when I finished the Continental Divide Trail 2 years before, someone that was following my blog left me a package at the finish, and in the package was the guidebook to the Great Divide Trail. And so I looked at that and I thought, I'll never do it. Like, that's beyond me. I couldn't do it. And then they planted the seed. And as I held that book and looked at the pictures and looked at it, I thought, I could do this. Like, this is something I'm going to do. Since the Great Divide is later in the summer, it's not like a spring and early summer hike, I needed something to go before it. So by default, the Hayduke happened. That one also hadn't been traveled a lot, but enough people had done it that we could research it. And I had two people then message me, two women, each independently say, hey, I'd like to pair up you, one on the Hayduke and one on the Great Divide. Coming off the Appalachian Trail, I thought, that is what I should do. Like, I should welcome the pairings, even if I didn't know them all that well. And it was a great learning process for me, as far as knowing, still feeling out where I should compromise and where I shouldn't, and what kind of communications I need to have with people. So I thought those were really good. And they were also trails that navigationally and physically and just terrain-wise were a little bit more frightening, and for someone first doing it. So it was great to have a partner for that. And then I did them and I thought, oh, yeah, I feel like I could have done them solo, but it was probably nice to share it with another person, because those are also trails that we didn't see anyone else.
So what was the motivation for doing Hayduke and Great Divide?
It was by default. So the Great Divide Trail was because I had the book. I looked at it and I thought I'd never do it. And then all of a sudden it evolved to me that it was something I could do. And it felt like it was the next step up from doing the long trails, the Triple Crown. Like, okay, I still feel like this is a trail. It's just a little bit less. It's got some of those rugged areas that aren't fully mapped out, where you might lose your way, that kind of thing. And it's lesser known, less done, and just... And it was in another country. It was Canada, but still, I was like, I'm going to another country, people. So I thought it was really cool. Like, it was a way to explore and stretch my boundaries a little bit. Now, the Heyduk, that one was also a desert hike that I felt that was something challenging for me. Yeah. And each time I do these things, I kind of think it's the last year. Like, so I kind of pick things thinking, if I can't hike again, what would I regret not doing? And that was how all of that comes around.
Do you still think that?
Yeah. The ones I pick are the ones that I feel like feel in my gut it's time to do these. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, what would someone expect me to do and that kind of thing. It's more of, what would I regret not doing? And that I kind of put things in that order. So I'm trying to do things that would be more physically challenging now, because my body won't enjoy it as much later and maybe may not even be able to do it later. But after the Heyduk and the Great Divide, I was like, yeah, I'm feeling like I'm ready to still challenge myself. And now what I want to challenge myself with is terrain that I'm really afraid of. And so those were the high routes. Sierra High Route, Kings Canyon High Basin Route, and the Wind River High Route. And I was looking at the timing of them, and I thought, I'm not doing them super fast, but they could be fit into one summer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, there's a challenge. Like, yeah. Why don't I do that? Those are trails I thought I would never, ever do in my life. And I knew that they wouldn't be things I would absolutely love because they scare me. But I did them. And I know I can do them. And it was cool to know I can do it. Do I need to go back and do that again? No. I was just so amazed that I even did it. And I can't say that I absolutely loved them. But it was the fact that I needed a challenge. And to put all three of them back to back like that, I thought was pretty cool.
No one had done the Kings Canyon one yet, had they? Like, Skirka made the route, but I don't think he finished it
before. Oh, you think you're right? No one had done it yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I had that confidence going into the Kings Canyon one because I had just done the Sierra High Route. Mm-hmm. It felt like it was just a connection of that same hike. Yeah. Then after that, it was, let's go international. This is just back-to-back right off of those high routes. I went over to Australia and did some of the routes there. And the Bibbulmun is completely relaxing and blissful and calm. And the point in doing it was to go solo after all these pairings I had and the intense experience I had on the high routes, and to do something more meditative and just recenter. And then there's a short one called the Lara Pinta in Australia. But then I went and did the New Zealand hike, the TA. Almost my first week was kind of overlapping with people. And then I met somebody I was with a month and a half, and then I ended up somebody else the last 2 months or whatever. So it was great because I feel like it did. It opened me up, and I'm still working on the social thing.
Do you think that it's best worked out on trail, or can you work
for me? It is.
Yeah. Is that a major reason why you keep doing trails?
It was probably the reason why I even started doing trails. Yeah. And I've found my only way of interacting with people is when I'm physically active. I've always played sports all my life. So that ended 10 months of hiking. So then I came home for 2 months, and because I had been gone for the winter here, it was immediately summer and spring. So I worked the rest of the school year at the schools, substitute teaching, and I did put in my time there. But then when school year was over, summer's open, and I needed to go somewhere, even though I was pretty much done. I was like, I don't need to go anywhere. I feel really like filled. I've always wanted to go over to Europe and do it solo, but I wanted to do a challenging route on my own. So that was the Haut Route Pyrenees, and that was a month out there doing a route that's similar to what you would call like a Sierra High Route kind of experience, where there are trails that it can sometimes drop down to, but then there's some rocky kind of pass kind of things that you go over that it's not marked as the HRP, but there could be other trails that you're overlapping that are that. So I felt really good because it wasn't, I wouldn't say easy, but it was not something that scared me. So I felt like there was a huge growth in that a full year before was this year a high route. And I was so intimidated by that and not comfortable with being on the boulders and the rocks. But then to be out on the Haut Route and to just come, I felt so comfortable. I reached a new level of comfort and happiness. Like, it was just a whole new level. And I loved being by myself. So I just wanted to do it at my pace, the way I wanted to do it. And I loved that there were challenging things and things that were not necessarily safe. And I didn't feel uncomfortable doing it by myself. After that was the GR5. That one was a little bit more paved and relaxing. And that was like my icing on the cake kind of experience of just a reward. And it was so cruisy to me after doing the Hout route, and I was just loving it.
Do you think of this as just a journey and you're like collecting all these little things on the way, or do you have any like big objectives in mind? Major accomplishments?
I have no plan at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of them, I've gone on those hikes and I've not known what I was doing next and just been like, oh, this is what feels right. So it usually happens is that as I'm walking something, I hear about another hike or I see somebody's been doing another hike and it pulls me. But hiking in general, who's to know I'm not going to want to not do this anymore? Like, I'm not committing to this as a life thing. It's just something that's happening. And I have an addictive personality. So it seems to be that I tend to do things really strongly for a certain number of years. And then maybe something else catches my eye and I really invest in that. So I used to be a runner, really into the running. I did that. I pushed as hard as I could. I'm like, you know, now I came over here and hiking caught my eye and I'm like, oh, you can do this. Like, this is something you can do. And it gives me some kind of purpose in life. So as long as it's giving me a purpose, I feel great with it. Like, it's giving me a reason to get up in the morning. I get up and I know that I'm saving up and I'm working these 14-hour days. Like, I work hard and I work on the weekends and I devote my life to like working when I'm home. And then I get 6 months off. So it's just like, it's worth it. It's like a purpose. But when I was doing the 9-to-5 thing, it just wasn't, I couldn't figure out why I was getting up every day. Like, what am I doing? It was very routine. And I can't even tell you what happened to those first 10 years out of college. Like, I made awesome like friends as far as like those first years in your 20s or whatever. But if I think about like what I did, I can't think of it. Like, I'm just like, what did I do with my 20s? I just worked pretty hard and saved up some money. And then all of a sudden I woke up when I started hiking. Like, it just passed so quickly.
Do you think there's a way to have a more normal non-trail life and not forget about what you've done with that time?
More normal when you mean, like, just become domesticated?
Yeah, like you said that you don't know what happened with those years. Do you think right. You could have a similar sort of situation, but be more conscious?
Possibly. I think that I need to feel like there's some kind of purpose. So I think that maybe I was not feeling as much purpose and like motivation when I wasn't occupied with something like this. Like, this is something that really grabs me and like challenges me on multiple levels. And I think that I was finding work challenging back in those days. And then I was also challenging myself physically by running so much. But the situation I was in was a very unhealthy situation. This, I feel so amazingly like light and free and like it's just clicking and everything's so natural. And when I'm home, it feels amazing. Like, I've never been so happy. So it's interesting that I've found that and I want to stay in that pocket, whatever that is. So it may evolve into something else, but right now the pocket that I'm in is so wonderfully comfy.
Does home feel different because of how hard it is on trail, or what is it about home that feels different now?
I have a problem with commitment. Mm-hmm. And so as far as like when you tell me I have to do something every day for the rest of my life, you're going to see me freak out. Because it's just like, that just sounds so confining. It definitely does. Unless maybe I'd find something, even if you told me I had a through hike and do what I'm doing right now for every day for the rest of my life, I would panic and I'd reject it probably, because it's just like, it feels like there's a lot of pressure put on that. Mm-hmm. I have so much choice, and the job I have as substitute teacher, I can choose if I want to go to work. Like tomorrow, if I don't want to have to go to work, I have no boss. So I don't have to go to work. And do I go? Yeah, I go every day. I do it every day. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like it's a drain because I chose to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm a workaholic, but I have the complete freedom to walk away from it anytime I want. And for some reason, that makes my anxieties like nil. Just the idea that I could walk away from it.
And there you have it. Erin Saver, Wired. She's attempting the Great Himalayan Trail this upcoming summer, and she continues to challenge herself wherever she sees that there's room for improvement. And even with the podcast that I've done, I've been just kind of stumbling into the guests a little bit. It's just friends of mine or people that are around that I want to talk to, and so far they've pretty much all just been exactly like me. Young dudes hiking big miles, and there's not just one type of person you can through hike, and there's not just one way to challenge yourself. Just about anyone can do it, and you can challenge yourself in whatever way you want. Just look at what Erin said. She challenges herself physically on some hikes, and mentally on others, and socially on others, and is always really trying to challenge herself in whatever she sees as a weakness. And that's super commendable, and I think it's a really valuable perspective and something that we should all keep in mind in this thru-hiking community. And anyways, I'm here in Lone Pine. I'm actually about to hike a route with Pepper Flake. I actually just learned that his name wasn't Alexander McNaughton. That was awkward. But I'm excited to hike up in the Inyo Mountains and Death Valley, and probably hurt a little bit at the end of it. I'm a little intimidated. He's a good hiker. We'll see how it goes. But thanks for listening to this episode of the Roots Podcast. I'll keep them coming the first of every month, so stay tuned. I don't know what my next guest will be.